My mother, Tsugi Mizukami, was born in Kumamoto City. Actually, it wasn't a city at that time. It was a prefecture, Kumamoto Prefecture, and the county was the, what was the name of the county? I forgot. And she was very happy working in a place where they were microfilming. You better start over. My mother, Tsugi Mizukami, was born in a little village in Tamukai in the province of Hotakugun, Kumamoto Prefecture. She was the last of three children and the only daughter of Yahichi Mizukami and Toju Kogami Mizukami. She was sent to the temple to learn sewing for 3 years, and after that, she was employed at a silkworm company where the high school graduates were able to look through the microscope to look for any disease in the worms. And one day, her aunt, Kaju, received a letter from Hawaii, from Sadahiko Sonoda, and he was asking for her to be his bride. And she didn't want to go to Hawaii to marry Sadahiko Sonoda because she was in love with another man whose name was, it's over here. Anyway, you're gonna edit this. But her aunt, Kaju, said, Tsugi, if you don't go to Hawaii and marry Sadahiko Sonoda, we're gonna disown you and we will have to take your name off the family register. And she was very much against this because she didn't want to be left out from the family register. And so she reluctantly agreed to come to Hawaii to be Sadahiko Sonoda's bride.
Now, why, how, I thought that with the picture brides, there was usually an exchange of letters. So how is it that she just received a letter out of the blue, of proposal?
Well, I guess she didn't. She just decided to marry him because it was a traumatic experience for her and not to be considered a member of the
Oh, no.
family.
How did he know who she was? How was it that he just
Oh,
wrote her a letter and
he sent her
proposed?
a picture.
So was there an exchange of letters that happened?
I
And was there
think
a
I don't
map?
know
Did
if
she know that?
I don't know that part whether she replied saying that. She didn't say that she wrote to him through the intermediary, the Aunt Kaju, I think, handled it.
So can you describe how your
Okay.
father found out about her and how he used the
Okay.
intermediary?
First, he wrote a letter to a distant relative of his who lived in Kumamoto, and his name was Kogami. He had a beautiful daughter who was 20 years old, and Mr. Kogami said, "Well, you can marry my daughter if you would give me 200 yen, which was equivalent to $100 in American money." But he didn't have $100, so he said, "No, I cannot marry your daughter." So he wrote a letter to the Mizukami family. And this is what happened. She didn't want to marry him because she was in love with Kojiro. That was his first name. And so she came to Hawaii.
So yeah. Was there an intermediary involved with
him? Oh, in order to send him to Hawaii, he needed a signature of the head of the family. And the head of the family at that time, because he didn't have parents already, was a brother, Tsugi's brother, Seijiro, Seihachi Mizukami. And, you know, they tricked him. And the aunt, Kaju, said, your aunt is on the verge of death and you have to come in before she dies. And so he hurried, and he was living in Tokyo at the time. Her brother, Seijiro Mizukami, my mother's brother. And so he hurriedly came to Kumamoto only to find that his aunt, no, he's not his aunt. What was it? Oh, it was the aunt who was on the verge of dying, but that was false, that was a lie. She was very healthy, and so they only tricked him so that he would sign the release papers so Tsugi Mizukami can come to Hawaii. And so that's how she came to Hawaii.
Can you explain what the significance is of being written out of the family register? What does that mean? Oh,
just like you're not any part of the family anymore.
Can you explain that from the beginning?
Every family in Japan has what we call koseki tohon. It's a family register. It's recorded at the municipal office of the village where you live. And if, like when a girl gets married, they take her name, they put a black mark here, and then put her name in the family that she's gonna marry into, the groom's family. Well, in her case, if she didn't marry Sadahiko Sonoda, her name was not gonna appear in any register, because in Hawaii we didn't have a koseki tohon.
But what significance would that mean if she wasn't in the register? Does that mean she
doesn't receive? Disowned by the family, like a.
Can you say that if you're not in the register?
Yeah, that means you're disowned by the family.
Can you say if you're not in the register?
Oh, if you're not in the register, yeah, you're disowned by the family, and you're not a member of the family anymore.
Now, it was her sister that was telling her
she had
to?
Her aunt.
So,
Her mother is already dead, but the mother's sister, Kaju, K-A-J-U, was the one that said to Seihachi Mizukami to come to sign the paper release for his sister to go to Hawaii.
Now, what was her aunt's interest in having her go? Why did she pressure her and not let her marry who she wanted to?
I don't know why she pressured her so much. My mother never told me that. I don't think for any financial gain, like sending money from Hawaii. But he did take care of his mother. He built a little house for her in Kumamoto. And I went to see that house one year when I was a young girl.
Mm-hmm. So then as soon as, what happened after she agreed to be married? What happened in Japan? Did they have a wedding in Japan without him present?
No, just putting her name in the family register signified that she was already married into the Sonoda family. Mm-hmm. And then when she arrived at Honolulu Harbor, and I have the date and all this. She was married by a Methodist Episcopalian Christian minister in a mass wedding ceremony right at the immigration station. She was detained 3 days at the immigration station to take out any toxins or whatever disease they may have brought from Hawaii, Japan. But on the third day, they were released. She said there were six couples that got married by the Christian minister. And I have a beautiful koa frame wedding certificate this big in the bedroom hanging. I'll show it to you later.
So what was that like at the docks?
At the dock?
Yeah, did she describe how the... What picture did she... Did she send a picture to him and did he send a picture to her?
Well, he sent her the picture, but he didn't say... She didn't say she sent him a picture.
So how did they identify?
How did they identify? I don't know how they identify each other. I don't know.
Okay.
Out of the six brides, I don't know how he knew that was his bride.
So did she have any expectations about what life in Hawaii would be like?
No, they thought Hawaii was a wonderful place to come and work hard and earn money so they can earn enough money and they can take that money back to Japan and live comfortably in Japan. But in 1925, my whole family went to Japan, my sister and me and my father and mother, to make their livelihood in Japan. And we took a lot of farming equipment. But after 6 months, my parents said, this is not the life we want to live. Too hard in Japan. You can't. And so they were just farmers. My father was just planting rice and for 6 months. And so we came back to Hawaii, and they said the rest of their life, they were very happy that they did make a choice to come and live in Hawaii.
So, I'm sorry, what year did you say she immigrated to Japan?
1912. To, you mean, to Hawaii?
To Hawaii, yeah.
Yeah, and he came 1906.
And what was his story? Do you know why he immigrated to
Hawaii? See, when he was 15, he had no parents already. He wanted to go and work in the Philippines, but he was underage, they didn't take him. Then, when he was 19, he went to apply to come to Hawaii to work in the plantation. He went to Nagasaki to catch the boat to Hawaii, but he didn't pass the eye test. You know, those days, that was very significant that they passed the eye test. I don't know, he was only 19, and what was wrong with his eyes, I don't know. But he didn't pass, so he came back to Kumamoto, waited couple of months, and he went. This time he went to Kobe to catch the plane, the boat to Hawaii. And so he was going to bring his mother.
Oops, can you hold on one second?
I think Betty, can you take that clock into the living room?
Oh, well...
I cannot hear, because every 15 minutes you're going to hear.
We'll probably be done.
Can you take that clock into the dining room?
Yeah.
Take that clock, because you're making noise.
Take this away?
Yeah, to the dining room.
Okay.
Then we cannot hear.
I was wondering what I was hearing.
So what year did he actually immigrate, and how was it that he immigrated? Was he a contract?
He came in 1906. He immigrated. Sadahiko Sonoda immigrated to Hawaii in 1906, and his bride came 1912.
So when he came to Hawaii, where did he find work, and what did he do?
When he arrived in Hawaii, he was sent to the Kahuku Plantation. which is near the ocean. And somehow he said he didn't like it because he couldn't sleep at night with the sound of the ocean. And so he, after a few, couple of months only, he went to Punene, Maui to work in the plantation, the Hawaiian Commercial and Sugar Company.
And did he describe the kind of work that he did?
Oh, he did steam plow. Yeah, they would plow the cane with a big truck, steam plow. And he was a helper. And my mother came, she didn't have money to buy material to make clothes for the plantation job. She took off all her Japanese kimono, which she hand-stitched, and she even made the material on the loom herself and then made into a kimono. She had to rip that all up to turn that, recycle it into a working clothes for the plantation, a blouse and a long sleeve, and you know, you've seen pictures. I think there might be some pictures in here like that. And so after working 6 months, it was hard work, and my father, they would hide in the cane field. And you know what they were doing? This maybe you better hush hush. They were gambling. And so
when they were supposed to be working?
Yeah, and then the Luna would go and check the houses, the barracks where they were living, and they're gone. So the Luna would think, oh, these guys went to work already. But no, they're in the cane fields. Because they get whipped if they're caught. And so they were really cruel to the workers, laborers. So after 6 months, my mother and father, my father was there already 5 years, but my mother, after 6 months, a man, their friend, came from Wailuku, Maui, to ask them if they would like to take over this man and his wife's job as a housemaid and a houseboy for the William Tate Robinson family. He was a state island, because it wasn't a state yet, a legislature, and he was also a tax assessor in the island of Maui. And so the pay was going to be the same, $18 for the man, for my father, and $15 for my mother. But they didn't have to pay for food. The Robinson family provided housing, and of course plantation housing was free too. But at least they had to buy their own food in the plantation. So they came, and my father paid off all his debts from working for the Robinsons.
So can we go back to when mm-hmm. it was only him mm-hmm. and he moved to Punene
mm-hmm.
And you were describing how they would go out and gamble instead of going to work. So was he, I've heard that it was very difficult to save enough money.
Mm-hmm.
So can you talk about like the pay and how he was able to save enough to send for, did he pay for his wife to come over? Did he pay for the passage?
That part I'm not too sure because they were on the contract, you know. So I don't know if the plantation paid for, even for his boat fare. That I have to find that out.
Because contract labor stopped in the 1900s.
Yeah, on 1920-something, I think, wasn't it?
Well,
did you make a research?
Yeah, well, the actual, like, contract labor, mm-hmm. where they were tied mm-hmm. to working for the company mm-hmm. for a set number of years, was ended. But maybe there was, like, an
some people have the contract document, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if I had that.
Well, could did he describe to you what his living conditions were like before he got married?
Before he got married, I don't know, but after he got married, my mother lived with me 5 years before she went to the nursing home, so she told me a lot of things, so this is true, because she described her living conditions, what kind of house they lived in. Yeah. If you wait, okay. Can you turn it off or not?
This is like when she first came to...
When she first came in 1912. On the Maui.
And you were saying that she worked on the plantation as
well?
Yes,
she did.
Okay.
That's my mother and father. That's me. Okay, Tsuki prepares to leave Japan. Wedding day. That's my parents' wedding. Life on the plantation. Okay. The room, they lived in a barrack where the room was only large enough to put a wooden platform for a bed on which they put a futon to sleep on and a small table and a bench to eat their meals. They used the table to write letters also. There was only one window and a door. Their next door neighbor was Mr. and Mrs. Takahashi. There was an outdoor kitchen with a dirt floor and a roof overhead for two families to share. Each couple paid 30 cents per month for use of the futon bath. The outhouse was also a community outhouse. There was a roof over the outhouse and walls between each toilet. There were six toilets back to back, a total of 12. Instead of a door for each toilet, there was only a cloth curtain hanging in front. Sometimes someone had to stay out and watch, especially in the case of a woman using the toilet. There was a good many bachelors living in the camp. As for food, since there were no automobiles, peddlers used to come on horse and buggy in the plantation camps. One whole tuna cost only 25 cents, and cotton material cost 25 cents for 3 yards.
So can I have you just kind of say that stuff again, but not read it? Like, did that help refresh your memory?
Yeah. Well, I forgot all these things already because I wrote this so long ago.
Do you remember, like, how she described it to you?
Oh.
Was she pleased with the conditions that she was living under? Did she like it, or was she unhappy?
Gee, you know, I don't think she was very happy with that kind of condition, because in Japan, she didn't have to work that hard. Yeah, plantation work is very, very hard. But she, you know, like old Japanese Yamato Damashi, they call it, the spirit of the samurai, although she was a woman, they hide the emotions. They know how to endure to the end. Yeah, go. And really, they sacrificed, yeah, a great big sacrifice. They were like the pioneers of olden days in America, yeah. Yeah. So I'm glad they made a choice to live in Hawaii.
Can you talk about the kind of labor that she had to do?
She said, Tsugi had to hapai kochi, said. That means they carry the cane that has been cut, carry on the shoulder.
Oh, can you say that again?
They carry the cane that has already been cut, and they would put them, haul them on the shoulder, and carry it to the train. And that's the work she did for 6 months.
And what were the hours like?
Oh, they had to work like was it 10 hours? I wrote it down here, but I forgot. Yeah.
So she was not doing, the kind of labor she did. Can you compare Japan and Hawaii, the kind of work that she did?
You know, in Japan, she had an easy job. Yeah, going to the earth, the mulberry, what kind of worms? Silkworms, yeah. She had a lot of time when she read books because, you know, it was not that busy, her work in Japan, yeah.
And then how did she adapt when she came to Hawaii?
She was only 20 years old, yeah. I guess, and when, after 6 months in the plantation, she had to learn how to cook the American way when she went to live with the Robinson family. Yeah. Had to learn the language. That wasn't easy. What else is there?
I guess I want to ask you about their marriage. So she was really in love with somebody else.
Yeah, Ryutaro Hayashi, his last name.
Uh-huh. So she was really in love with someone else. Yeah, and then she had
the aunt threatened her. Her aunt threatened her, saying that if she doesn't marry Sadahiko Tsunoda in Hawaii, we're going to take your name out of our family register, which is the Koseki Tohon, which is a very precious thing. Every family, even my father had a Koseki Tohon in Hawaii.
So when she did come to Hawaii and meet her husband, did they hit it off? Or how?
Gee. I guess so. If she had seven, she gave birth to seven children. Yeah. But she didn't have any children for 5 years, and then the Robinson family wanted a couple that had no children. So after 5 years, my sister was born. Then that's when my father, he was an entrepreneur, you know. He got some used recycled lumber from someplace, and he built a house with the help of his friends that lived in Wailuku. The house was in Wailuku. And he leased the land and he raised vegetables. And Mr. Robinson gave him some cows. See, Mr. Robinson also had a dairy. So my father learned how to run a dairy. So the rest of his life, he always was a dairy man. Mm. Yeah.
So did your mom describe how she came around to love her husband, or did she talk about that relationship at all?
One thing she told me, my father had to amputate one leg, and they were living in Palolo. One day out of the clear blue sky, he said, before he died, a couple of years before he died, he said, please, don't die before I do, and thank you for taking care of me. He said he really appreciated all the help she gave him. Because he used to like to drink sake. So us kids, we have to help my mother. She was bootlegging. And it was against the law to make any whiskey or sake. She had to buy 100 pounds of rice to make sake, you know. And oh, it smelled, and we didn't complain though, because we were helping our parents, yeah, trying to save money. Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, I had wonderful parents. My mother lived to be 98, yeah. And I'm glad she came to live with me, with my husband and me, before she went to the nursing home, because she contributed a lot of things for my book, yeah. Yeah.
Did they,
They were poor, but so was everybody else those days. So we didn't feel like we were the only ones that were poor. All our neighborhood kids, they wear hand-me-downs, no shoes to go to school, bare feet. Yeah. That's how you have to. Everybody is important. You have to write a story of your life so your progenitors can know what kind of a life their great-grandmother lived. See, this is the year we came back from Japan. I was 5 years old. My father.
Did they interact on the plantation? Did they interact with, did they live in a Japanese camp, or was it a mixed?
We were a little different, but you know, we had a Spanish camp, Chinese camp, Korean camp, Filipino camp. Yeah, but we were at the dairy, so our camp was mostly Filipino workers and Japanese. And not very many people lived in our camp. There were only 7 houses. Yeah. So all we played with our next door neighbor kids. We didn't have a whole camp.
Yeah. Oh, so when they worked for the Robinsons, it was still on the plantation camp.
No, this is Wailuku now. He was a businessman.
Oh.
He owned a lot of land. He had a Portuguese wife. I have a picture of that. My mother could count the names of the 10 children on her 10 fingers by their nickname. And when she came to live with me, wow, I was surprised. She could, oh. It's this book is only half finished, so the picture comes in the other half.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you were saying that when they lived on the plantation camp, it was all.
Yeah, they live among themselves only. Yeah.
And what year did they finally move into Wailuku on the Robinsons?
My mother came 1912, and so 6 months later they went to.
Oh, very.
So early. 1912.
Okay.
It was 1912. They went to live in Wailuku.
And did they talk at all about when the strikes were happening? Did they were they aware of it, and did they support in any way since they were off the plantation? Were they involved in any way?
No, I don't think so, because. Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a strike. Yeah. In the 20s, yeah.
Well, I think I would just like to close with your thoughts about them coming to Hawaii and staying, and what that means to you.
As a descendant of my hardworking parents, I'm so grateful that I'm one of their children, and that I've been blessed with good health all these years. And my mother just loved her children, that Mrs. Takaki, our dear friend, said. She said in Japanese, but I'll translate it. Said, Yuki-chan's mother, it was such a children-loving woman, that she marvels at my mother's love for her children. She'd do anything for them, sacrifice. Yeah, that's the comment that Mrs. Takaki said. My mother was that way. Yeah. So, although they didn't know each other when they were married, my mother and father's all in my other in this book. They said, "I'm so happy that we chose to live in Hawaii. Yeah, that good thing that they didn't go back to Japan to live there." Yeah.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you.
I don't know.
Is there anything that I left out about that picture bride period, about them meeting and coming over and then working and then...
Yeah.
Do you think that we covered all the significant things? Because you talked about how she had to cut up her clothes to work in the fields. And
I think it's in here too.
Were there any other anecdotes or stories you had from that?
I think, what does it say here? Does it say about how she made her clothes? I cannot read without my glasses.
No.
What does it say?
It's about exchanging vows in Honolulu.
Oh, then she must have...
Did she describe what the immigration process was like? Like, taking the boat over, what was that, how that was for her?
Oh, she didn't describe how she crossed the ocean to come to Hawaii. Oh, Christian marriages. No, but someplace it says, oh, I know, Baba Kawakami's book about plantation clothing. I have her book. And in there she described that my mother's kimono was ripped because she was too poor to buy material to make work clothes for the plantation job. Yeah, her book. Did you ever read her book?
I'm interviewing her tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Go say hi to her. She knows me. We sat next to each other in Japan Airlines plane going to Japan in 1981.
Oh.
Oh, you're going to see her.
Yeah.
She lives in Mililani.
Yeah, I'm driving far.
Ah. Yeah.
Can you tell that story one more time about the clothes and how she had to cut up her kimono to use it as fabric? Yeah.
My mother made the material that she turned them into kimono when she started working in the plantation because she didn't have the money to buy material to make clothes. And she was a good seamstress, though. And so she took apart her kimono, which was hand-sewn, and turned them into work clothes. And that's how they were able to save some money, yeah.
Were there other things that she had to do to save money?
No. Some other things were after we came into her life. Like she would wash the Filipino clothes up, pants for 25 cents or a shirt for 15 cents or something like that. I remember we were already going to high school. That's how she made some. And the Wilson, he was the supervisor at the dairy, Punene Dairy. Every Saturday afternoon, they would bring this whole week's laundry, sheets, towels, clothes, long sleeves, men's shirt. And my mother, my sister and I and my mother, every Sunday we had a big wash day. I hated it. Because we didn't have washing machine. Everything was done by hand. We have to boil the clothes in the outdoor galvanized pan, big bucket-looking thing, and stir it and make. We didn't have rinse or cheer detergent. We have to scrape off some bars of soap. Crystal White was the name of the stove. And then make suds and then cook the clothes. It took us all day to do that laundry. And all that we got paid was $2. That was slavery. Yeah. But we endured. We had a hard life because we didn't have spending money. Yeah. But I'm glad we still survived. My husband said he'll never forget that time all the camp boys went to see the submarine movie in the plantation community hall, and his father didn't have a dime. Yeah, he was 10 years old. He couldn't go. He cried. So I tell my grandchildren, great-grandchildren, I have some that's even 8 years old. I think about your Grandpa Rick. His father didn't have a dime to spare to go see this movie, you know? So don't splurge your money. Yeah.
Well, thank you. It's